Steven Kruger grew up in South Africa, identified as a gay person from a fairly young age, and I've convinced him to tell us his story following this event. Steven Kruger, very, very good morning, and thank you for speaking to us about this. I know that it's not easy, and I know that this is actually the first time that you're having this conversation publicly.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I know this is a hard one, because one of the things that you've said to me in a private conversation is that it's almost that you actually have PTSD from the experience of growing up within a religious environment, but knowing from a young age that you were different. Can you take us through that experience?
Sure. You have PTSD because you spend your entire life pretending to be something that you're not. And it's severely traumatic for somebody to be something they're not and live in fear continually that they're going to be found out. I went to Yeshiva College. I grew up in a religious household. I had religious friends. I was very involved in B'nai Akiva. And when I grew up, I'm not giving my age away, but there was no internet.
Right.
And the only exposure I had to anything relating to gay people, homosexuality, was what I read in the newspapers, saw on TV, and heard from my educators. Excuse me. Now, for as far back as I can remember, and yes, it's cliche, I could always say that I was different. I was different. I was always supposed to be attracted to girls and do manly things, but I wasn't. I mean, I knew that there was something, in inverted commas, wrong with me. I mean, a lot of men don't do sports, a lot of men, but there was always something different, and you kind of start realizing more what it is towards the age of 14 onwards that I was gay. Of course, I didn't really know 100% what it was. I knew that I was attracted to men, but I couldn't really identify with anyone because of the environment that I grew up in and the exposure to information that I had. I couldn't accept what I was. I couldn't believe I was gay because the gay people I see were the stereotypical, very camp queens and hairdressers. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
And here I was, growing up in a religious environment, knowing I was different. And at that time, I mean, there's a lot of stigma attached to being gay, especially in the 80s and South Africa.
Well, I was just going to say, it wasn't just within the Jewish community. It was actually a countrywide and even worldwide thing at the time.
Sure. I think the 80s, things started to move in a more positive direction. But South Africa always lagged a bit behind because it was very conservative in nature.
And censored.
It wasn't. I mean, the 80s started to become more out if you had a look at the general mainstream trends of the news and pride. 80s was the time as well there was the AIDS epidemic started. And then people came out and started protesting in America saying, we are dying. Why are you not doing anything for us? This is what we are. This is who we are. Treat us like people. South Africa never really fitted into the mainstream. It was a very conservative society.
Carry on.
And there I am, 13, 14, 15, growing up, knowing that, oy vey, I'm a little bit different. Like, oy vey, big oy vey. My personality traits weren't particularly masculine. I enjoyed drama and public speaking. When I kicked a soccer ball, it looked at this while I was doing ballet. And then kids sense things. And specifically in my standard 7 year, it was a very bad year for me. I remember being bullied. I remember walking into the class one day and some guy was sitting on the right hand side. I walked in and he goes, hey, faggot, which you think you're kind of 15. You don't know what you are. You know you're different. You know that people hate what you are. My whole world basically fell apart from underneath me, but I couldn't say anything. I mean, I couldn't do anything because now, I mean, my biggest fear was that people would find out. My biggest fear that people would find out that I was gay, and then I basically would not be accepted. I'd be ostracized. I'd be alienated. And
it was a very real fear. I mean, it's not as though it was just something going on in your own head. The reality is that there was, and there still is, to thank goodness to a lesser extent, but it is still there, the non-acceptance of somebody who is gay.
Yes, it is there, around a lot of communities, and the mainstream society is moving on, but I think what you see in the news is not really what goes on behind the white picket fences and in normal households. But you know what happened? I mean, so I kind of changed my whole persona. You spend your entire life trying to be something that you're not. So I learned how to act. I learned how to fit into situations. I was really good at acting. I got the award for drama at the end of a trip. You remember that? Mm-hmm. I learned how to act. I knew how to fit into situations. I knew when a pretty girl that walked past what I was supposed to do in my reaction. To live your life like that, pretending to be something that you are not, pretending to be found out of what you are, is rips you apart as a person and is devastating. And what exasperated the situation even more was I had a teacher in Standard 7, and this actually came up. We had our class reunion a couple of months ago, and they were discussing, we were obviously reminiscing, and somebody said, I remember this wonderful rabbi. He was so funny. I remember this teacher walked past, and all the boys started whistling, and the rabbi walked in, and he went mad, and he made us write out Kadoshim to you. Ha, ha, ha. And I thought, it's not funny. I remember this rabbi. When I was sitting there at school, it was over, Rock Hudson was dying of AIDS. It was when the AIDS epidemic was coming to the forefront. The rabbi said, he deserves to die, he's gay, it's a good thing, these homosexuals bring it upon themselves. And then, consistently during the year, he used to kind of mock gay people, he used to kind of wipe his eyebrows. I mean, if you're gonna, he clearly had no exposure to gay people because he's gonna...
Well, what does that even mean?
I mean, he was trying to be camp. I mean, he was rubbing his eyebrows and basically mocking.
So what was it like for you sitting in that classroom, knowing that you are hiding the secret that you dare not, expose to anybody? And here's a guy saying that gay people deserve to die because of AIDS and mocking that which you are.
I remember that day. I remember I went cold. Remember the cold sweat dripping down my back. I remember the resolve of, well, nobody can ever find out who I am. And then on the other hand, there's also the experience of, yes, I'm religious. I'm Dati. I grow up in this environment. I'm involved in my youth group. I'm involved in the community, but how can I be Jewish and Shomrei Shabbat? But I'm an abomination. I deserve to die. I deserve to get AIDS. I mean, what sort of person am I? How can I be religious? So that is the situation that occurred. And there was another rabbi who was later once said, and I was actually sitting, I remember this experience, I was watching with some friends, we were Dati, we were like, whatever, we're very much into it. The South African Gay Pride was on the news. And that stage, Gay Pride was not what it is today. Gay Pride was a protest march. It was, here it's very much looking for, you want affirmation of your sexuality. That's what Gay Pride does. I have problems with that. But then it was like, here we are. Please leave us alone. Let us live our lives. Let us be like everybody else. We want to be recognized just as what we are and who we are, which is people. And I remember my friends around, and I kind of said to them, this Rabbi X said that South Africa is one of the most moral places in the world because they outlawed homosexuality. If you think of the absurdity of it.
This is during apartheid. Absolutely. Yes. Very moral. Yes.
But homosexuality is the biggest problem in South Africa.
So Stephen, how old were you when you finally came to terms with the fact that you couldn't live with the secret, and that it was time to come out and to try and reconcile the internal with the external?
I was 30. I was quite old.
Wow. That tells you the story in of itself.
I would love to have come out earlier. I would love. I feel like I've missed out a whole portion of my life, and if I do have any psychological problems today, not blaming anything, it is because I couldn't be who I am and who I am. I never knew any gay people. I was very sheltered, and by some reason, whatever, I actually met a lot of gay Jewish guys who were pretty aspirational, good guys. They had friends. They had a great life. They were amazing people. And finally, I could kind of realize that the perception that I have of gay people and what I'd been taught about gay people was wrong. That these people were like me, and they were amazing people, and they most certainly did not deserve to be killed, and they most certainly did not deserve to have AIDS. And it was actually on Gay Pride. I went to a party, I hung out with him, and I was driving back in the car with one of the guys. I said, something I want to tell you, I'm not really straight. And wow, it was, it was the most liberating feeling you could ever have, because I believe the comment, to thine own self be true. And the moment you are true to yourselves, the moment you recognize who you are and what you are, you basically become you as a person. And my biggest fear was being caught out, was coming out, being found out. I was worried what people were going to say, what people weren't going to say. It's irrelevant. I don't really care about the other people. The fact of the matter is, the moment I came out, my relationships with people became much better, because I was me. I could be me. I could be fabulous, amazing, sparkly, off the wall. I could be me.
Could there be was who you needed to, who you always were.
Behind.
And how have you reconciled? How have you reconciled the religious aspect of it? Because you grew up religious, that's what you naturally are drawn to. But being told these things by the representatives of religion has got to have pushed you quite far away from your observance of Judaism.
Okay, so when I came, I used to be very involved in the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. I was involved in Bnei Akiva. I was involved in Encounter. I always wonder now, if they'd known I was gay, would they still have allowed me to have been a madrich? That's
an interesting question.
That I was religious. I didn't find I had support from any of the community. In fact, I think one guy jokingly or seriously said to me, "Well, that's it. We're not allowed to give you an aliyah anymore." Sure. It made me angry, and I looked at what was happening, and I felt more acceptance outside the Jewish community. I mean, I've always been a very larger-than-life sort of personality, and I always kind of ensured that, that there was noise and a world following me, and but that was some sort of gossip I did not want. I heard a story that somebody said I was wearing a pink shirt, and I came out one Friday night during the Shabbos meal. It's not acceptable. And then there was always the stories of rabbis. I mean, it was always at the back of my head what the rabbi was saying of not being accepted. So I think what really bothered my mother the most was that I stopped going to shul. And I don't know, about 4 or 5 years later, she said, "All right, look, the Bad Hyde Park's opened up. Just come with me to shul one day." I went to shul, and I found a community, and this is where I learned my lesson, that was loving and accepting and recognized me as a person that was gay as opposed to a gay person. And I realized not to basically judge a religion by a couple of bad eggs who are completely clueless, and truth be told, people like that, rabbis with those opinions, should not be community rabbis because they are not able to serve the needs properly of the community. They should not be teachers because they do more harm than to kids. They should probably just, if they want to serve the community, maybe they should go be a shochet or something. And I made some of my best friends at that shul. I felt warm. I felt embraced. I was called to the Torah. I ran the young adults program. One day I came to shul, and everybody in the front row was wearing a pink shirt, and I kind of looked at them and they said, "It's gay pride. This is for you."
Amazing. Amazing.
And I read upsetting articles about certain rabbis, and I made aliyah and reconnected with friends from South Africa who I grew up with. They dati. I go there for Shabbat often. I'm very close to them, and they're all religious. The community knows who I am. They accept me. My friends' kids love me. And I realized that religion, I mean, how can you, there are people who don't, I mean, the Torah says you should stone somebody who doesn't keep Shabbat. It also says that homosexuality is wrong. I mean, that's all debatable anyway. I mean, there's different interpretations. How can you say what I am is far worse than somebody who doesn't keep Shabbat?
Yeah. So because a few people are sending messages saying, you know, are you religious? Where do you stand today? And I think that's the answer is that you've made peace with it as much as you're able to make peace with it. And I think the first thing and the whole message of what I'm hearing from you is most importantly is you needed to make peace with yourself. And it took until around about the age of 30 to be able to actually find that strength within you to be able to reconcile the internal and the external, and that's your one regret, is that it did take you so long. Understandably, because of the environment in which you grew up, I think a young person today growing up doesn't mean that they aren't facing terrible challenges or very difficult challenges, and we've certainly seen the result of some of those challenges over the last few weeks here in South Africa, but at least to some extent, being gay is more acceptable, at least globally. There's more information in terms of the internet. Hopefully there's a little bit less judgment. What is your message to either parents listening to you who might have a gay child, or to youngsters who are listening and are struggling with their own identity and trying to understand who they are? What is your message given your experience?
Okay, I would say first of all that I never chose to be this way. I was born this way. And it's not something I would change. It's not something I can change. Would I change it? Maybe. Would I love to settle for the white picket fence and the wife and 2.5 kids and the dog? Oh, the dog, yeah. But I can't change it. This is who I am. So I will accept who I am. And what do I tell anybody who's going through this? Basically, at the end of the day, come out and tell people. No matter how difficult you think it is, you have to come out and tell people, because that will be the beginning of when you accept yourself. And yes, it will be hard. It will be hard. And your parents may be disappointed and they may be upset. And what I've thought about is probably the reason they do this is because their frame of reference is they were happy, they were married, they have children. All of a sudden, they picked that for you, and all of a sudden, your life is taking a different direction. But they will understand it eventually. They will get used to it. And they do love you, irrespective of what you can think. And this is to gay kids go out there, irrespective of what you think, your parents always love you. And it will get better. And to parents, your responsibility is to have children. Okay. When you have children, to accept your children and to nurture your children. It's hard enough being gay as it is. Support them and help them. And I will also say to them that the people who want to come out, basically it's just when you yourself, you'll see that the people around you appreciate you more and accept you better, and your relationships become better. And yes, maybe the friends you're friendly with now will change. You'll find other friends who love and adore you. You don't want to be friends with people anyway who don't accept you. So before I came out the closet, I had a friend. He said, oh God, I'll never be friendly with fat people. So I lost one friend when I came out, and it happened to have been that person. Kind of shows the people who they are. Be yourself. Be yourself. You'll find there's nothing better. I mean, it's a cliche, but get out of that closet. Let the sun shine on you. Let the sun shine on you. And what I've loved and what I've learned is basically I've learned to love myself. I mean, from hating myself and despising the part of me and all of me and thinking of self-harm because I'd never be accepted because of the rabbi said I deserved to die. I was an abomination. I love myself now. Love myself, I love all that's part of me, and more than I actually appreciate myself. And it's more important, I believe, the ability to love rather than who you love. And you should love yourself first. And after that, everything just becomes a whole lot better and more simple.
Stephen Kruger, thank you for sharing that with us. I know that it wasn't easy, and I know that you were concerned about speaking about this publicly for the first time. I think that you've given everybody an incredible amount of wisdom, and I don't believe, hearing your story, that anybody will be able to look at the situation and look at it from a cold-hearted perspective ever again. So I do thank you for making yourself so vulnerable and sharing that with us. You've really done good today. I greatly appreciate
it. Thank you for letting me on your show, Howard. It's been a dream of mine for
yes,
months.
Well, you know what? You had to push very, very hard. At least we had to come up with the right topic. Stephen, just so you know, Zanati has been trying to get onto the show for years.
Really?
Yeah, but I would have none of it because he couldn't be trusted. I knew that.
You know, I feel like we also can't be trusted.
No, we can't be trusted either. So that's why it's a lethal combination. And so there you have it. Stephen Kruger, thank you for doing so. Time is 8:31.